when I'm about to die. I don't want anybody to know. And that creates problems for us because we need this stuff. And we, not only that we need it, but we need to know whether it's safe for the people, if it, it works. So those are some of the challenges that we have. I know you, well, we are not talking of, on what you're going to be talking, but because there have been those innovations, we think those innovations should be coupled, should be part of your plan as to how many of those innovations have we brought into the fore. But I know some of these people are not doing it for because they're passionate. They're doing it because they want to make money. And that's why they hide it. It's because they want to make money. And that's where our problem is. If they were doing it with passion for the safety and security of our communities, it would come to the fore without problem. It's just a comment. It's just a comment. There's a lady who mishandled me in the office. She's just coming here. I'm not sure whether I hate her or I like her, but she controls me wherever I go. I've got to be, now she's here. I thought I've left her in the office, but she's here now to control me. That's Amanda Klein. I call her AK, but she's not a guy. She's AK. So I'm just introducing her that she's the lady who controls me. Thank you very much. Okay, Thomas, it's up to you.
Thank you, Deputy Minister, for those opening remarks that have contextualized this presentation very well, and to the Honourable Chair also for those responses that he provided. I think they also help to contextualize the work of the Department in the broader South African national context and the developmental context. Just to emphasize, Honourable Chair and Honourable Members, it's this document that I will be presenting to you today, because this document, which is the plan of the Department's activities for the current financial year, needs to be formally approved by Parliament. And so this is what we will be presenting. I understand that the presentation by the Director General last week was very extensive. So I will be building on that, assuming that much of what he presented last week I would not need to repeat now. So the presentation will be largely focused, therefore, on what is in here. Many of the issues that the Honourable Chair picked up now in his response to the Deputy Minister are things that I think we will be able to pursue further in the question and answer session afterwards, because some of them have been picked up and highlighted in the presentation as well. So we look forward to further engagement with you in this regard. One last opening comment I would like to make about this document, Honourable Members and Chair, is that these annual performance plans are formulated against the background of a five-year strategic plan. Now, the current five-year strategic plan, or the one which is about to come to an end, will be replaced during the course of this year with a new strategic plan. So this annual performance plan has still been formulated against the background of the strategic plan of the previous administration. I think it's later this year or early next year that all departments will be presented to Parliament their long-term five-year strategic plan for the next cycle of the administration. And then the annual performance plans for the following financial year would then be pegged against those strategic plans. And because there have been certain changes in the political priorities from the previous administration to the current administration, perhaps not major, but there have been some changes, those would be reflected then in the new strategic plans and the new annual performance plans. So this document here may it comes at a bit of a juncture between the old strategic plan and the new strategic plan. And I thought it's important perhaps just to emphasize this. This document, therefore, may not yet fully reflect all of the ambitions of the new political administration, because they were formulated against the old strategic plan. But I'm certain that you'll feel very comfortable about what we're presenting here. Thank you very much. Just by way of overview, I would like to just briefly remind the committee of the DST's vision, mission, and goals, and then outline in in brief the structures and functions of the DST core programs. Now, the committee's researcher pointed out to me that in our presentation, we're not in fact covering what we call Program 1, which is the corporate services and the institutional planning one. This is because in this document here, only the shall we say, the core programs are represented. That's the ones that deal with the science and technology programs and activities of the department, not the support section. This is something that will be changed in the new strategic plan and in the new annual performance plan, where all of the programs will be represented then more fully. So then talking a little bit about some of the strategic challenges that we are facing, recent achievements, and then an overview of a selection of the performance indicators and targets for the current year. The full details are in the document, and of course, during the question and answer session, we're happy to answer any questions that you may have on the document, even if they weren't covered in the slides. Then there will be an overview of the budget and the allocations under the MTIF for the current financial year, and those would be the concluding comments. Thank you. So just to remind the committee members of the vision to create a prosperous society that derives enduring and equitable benefits from science and technology. And the mission is to develop, coordinate, and manage a national system of innovation that will bring about maximum human capital, sustainable economic growth, and improved quality of life for all. So in both the vision and mission, honorable members, you will see the key themes of the National Development Plan, which is really a document that binds us all together. You'll see them reflected there in terms of sustainability, enduring and equitable benefits, the importance of science, technology, and innovation in national development. These are all themes that are reflected there. The five strategic goals of the department are presented here in slightly abbreviated form, just to emphasize the core elements or the core concepts under those strategic goals. The first is to develop the innovation capacity of the NSI, so developing and supporting South Africa's ability to innovate. Secondly, to enhance South Africa's knowledge generation capacity, because knowledge is a key input into innovation. The third one is to develop appropriate science, technology, and innovation human capital to meet the needs of society. So you cannot generate knowledge if you don't have the human capital to do it. So the human capital leads to the knowledge generation, which leads to the innovation. The fourth one, to build world-class science, technology, and innovation infrastructure, because all of these activities require appropriate infrastructure to support them. And then lastly, to position South Africa as a strategic international research, development, and innovation partner and destination. Almost half of South Africa's published scientific output is produced in collaboration with overseas collaborators, almost half. So you can see that our science system is very, very embedded in the global world of science, when almost half of it is produced in cooperation with overseas collaborators. This is a very brief overview of the alignment of the department's priorities with the government priorities. The Deputy Minister had addressed this previously in a little more detail. And if the committee would wish the department to come and present in more detail how the department's activities map onto the National Development Plan and other key government priorities, that is something that we could do in due course in a lot more detail than I will be doing here. So this is just a very high-level and brief overview. So the first is, I've already emphasized that the department focuses on research, development, and innovation infrastructure. The infrastructure is a strong driver of the National Development Plan, the development and implementation and application of infrastructure. Secondly, the National Development Plan has a very strong focus also on human capital development and skills development. This is another important driver in the department's activities. Thirdly, the National Development Plan, as the Deputy Minister already indicated, lays strong emphasis on the need for research, and development and knowledge generation as an input into the development of the country, as an input into its economic and social development driven by innovation. Knowledge exploitation, which is really an alternative concept or word for phrase for innovation, and then job creation. The department, although of course we don't have the resources to employ, you know, tens of thousands of people, we make very important contributions to creating job opportunities for graduate and postgraduate students who are unemployed. This is the high-level organogram of the department. You'll see that on the extreme left-hand side there are two DDGs who are jointly responsible for our institutional support services and internal coordination and planning activities. And then there are the four so-called core programs, technology innovation, international cooperation resources, research development and support, and socioeconomic innovation partnerships. And all of these are represented here today. So a brief overview now of the structures and functions of the DSC core programs, those four science programs as we call them. First of all, technology innovation. Its purpose is to enable research and development in strategic and emerging research areas to promote the realization of commercial products, processes, and services from R&D outputs through the implementation of enabling policy instruments. So this program is really responsible for ensuring that knowledge products are turned into innovative new products and services that contribute to economic development, and for identifying and supporting new areas of research such as biotechnology and nanotechnology that show significant economic and industrial promise but are not quite at that stage yet. It is composed of these sub-programs. There's a sub-program on that's responsible for the bioeconomy as well as health innovation. There's a sub-program that deals with hydrogen and energy, one dealing with space science and technology, which also oversees the activities of the South African National Space Agency, SANSA. There's a program called Innovation Priorities and Instruments. And then lastly, there is something which is called the National Intellectual Property Management Office, which has been established not as a normal sub-program within the department, but there's something called a government component. This is a structure that is permissible in terms of treasury regulations that allows the department to establish a function within the department that operates a little at arm's length to the department and is not embedded in the department in quite the same way as the other programs are. The rationale for something like this, to use this particular example, is the following. The National Intellectual Property Management Office is our regulator of intellectual property that is generated through public funding. There's the department, as you'll see later on in the budget. The department moves 92% of its funds out of the department into agencies and into the universities. We are the principal funder of research activities in the science councils and in particular in the universities. And those funds generate knowledge and intellectual property. And that knowledge and intellectual property has to be stewarded and regulated in the national interest. And in order to do that, we've established an Intellectual Property Rights Act, and we've established this unit here, the NIPMO, as the organization or the organizational platform that manages this on behalf of the department. It has strong regulatory responsibilities. These are functions that are not normally associated with our department. Our department is not a regulator like the Department of Labor, for example. So in a sense, the activities of this unit sit parallel to the department but are not core to the way in which we operate. And so this has been established as a government component for that reason several years ago. But it reports within this program on technology innovation, and my colleague Mboneni will be able to provide far more information than I just have. Turning now to the second, what we call Program 3, International Cooperation Resources. Its purpose is to strategically develop, promote and manage international relationships, opportunities and science and technology agreements that strengthen the national system of innovation and enable an exchange of knowledge, capacity and resources between South Africa and its regional and international partners. So as the purpose indicates, it's the program that facilitates and manages our international cooperation activities. And I mentioned earlier on that almost half of our published scientific output is generated through cooperation with international partners. So the international activities are absolutely critical. We generate annually several hundred million rands worth of overseas investment in South African research and development activities. And this program is important for leveraging that and facilitating that activity. It has three sub-programs called International Resources, Multilateral Cooperation and Africa, and Overseas Bilateral Cooperation. The second one, Multilateral Cooperation and Africa, as the name implies, is responsible for all of our African bilateral relations, but it's also responsible for all our multilateral cooperation activities. For example, with the SADC, with the AU, with the OECD, the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development, with various UN agencies responsible for science, technology, and innovation. Whereas the Overseas Bilateral Cooperation sub-program is responsible for all our bilaterals outside of Africa. Program 4, which is called Research, Development, and Support, its purpose is to provide an enabling environment for research and knowledge production that promotes strategic development of basic sciences and priority science areas through science promotion, human capital development, the provision of research infrastructure, and relevant research support in pursuit of South Africa's transition to a knowledge economy. So this program is responsible for what we might call the upstream research activities, whereas Program 2, the technology innovation one, takes knowledge that is generated upstream in the innovation chain, and it transforms that knowledge into innovation, into products and services and useful applications. This program is responsible for ensuring that the knowledge production can happen in South Africa in terms of human capital provision and infrastructure provision, and it promotes science as a career choice and as something of central interest to society. It has four sub-programs, human capital and science promotion, basic sciences and infrastructure, science missions. This is the sub-program that focuses on what we call our areas of geographic advantage. I'm sure the DG covered this last week. This is things like paleosciences, Antarctic and marine research, astronomy, indigenous knowledge systems. And then lastly, astronomy is a sub-program on its own. And this is one of the larger programs in the department in terms of the level of investments that we make. Then turning to the last program, which is called Socioeconomic Innovation Partnerships, whose purpose is to enhance the growth and development priorities of government through targeted science and technology-based innovation interventions and the development of strategic partnerships with other government departments, industry, research institutions, and communities. So both this program, program number 5, and program number 2 sit downstream in the innovation chain, if you want. Program 4 manages the research and knowledge generation activities, and these two programs take that and turn them into innovation. The first program, program 2, focuses more on, shall we say, hard technology innovation. The latter, this one here, focuses in part also on, shall we say, the softer and social innovation side of things, and in particular also on intergovernmental relations. So that's more or less the landscape, Chair, then, of the program arrangements in the department. This program has three sub-programs, sector innovation and the green economy, innovation for inclusive development, and then science and technology investment. And I'm hoping that the names of these sub-programs convey to you a good sense of the distinction between this program and the one called technology innovation. You can see that this is a little softer in its focus on science and technology, more socially embedded in a sense. So that's a brief high-level overview of the landscape within the department. Now just a few recent high-level achievements and trends to contextualize this annual performance plan. As you will have gathered, human capital development is a core function and purpose of the department. In fact, the Department of Science and Technology is the key provider of support to postgraduate students. Support to undergraduate students is provided through the Department of Higher Education and Training, and specifically through its National Student Financial Aid Scheme, NSFAS, which reports within the DHET. But they only provide funding support for students in their first degree. Anything beyond that, an honors degree or a master's or a PhD, we are the principal providers of bursaries. And there's a significant drop-off, unfortunately, in the percentage that is supported at the undergraduate level through state support and at the postgraduate level. We can discuss this in more detail in due course. But nonetheless, Treasury has recognized the importance under the political guidance of the Cabinet to invest more heavily in human capital development. And these numbers here and the growth in the number of postgraduate students that we are able to fund through the resources that we are allocated by Treasury indicates the impressive advances that are being made in this regard. A specific indicator in the National Development Plan is that South Africa should have 100 PhDs per million of population. We are currently sitting at just under 35. The latest figures are not in here, but we expect it will be about 33.5 or 34 PhDs per million of population. So we're at about a third of what the National Development Plan has recommended the department, the nation should be at. So you can see that in the last 4 or 5 years, there's been a steady increase in the number of PhDs per million of population. And we believe that this is the result of investments that have been made by the state through the Department of Science and Technology in the training of PhDs over the last decade, that these investments are now coming to bear fruit because, as you all know, Honourable Members and Honourable Chair, it takes, you know, from the start of a university degree to getting a PhD, the average is probably about 10 years. So it does take a long time before the state can start seeing the impact of the investments that it makes in the PhD program. This shows you how the investments and the expenditures have been growing, particularly in the last little while. The bars on the extreme right-hand side for the future years, it shows that the green bar is the budget, which is the National Treasury allocation. And in the red bar, it says here expenditure. Clearly, expenditure only for past years. Here, in future years, the word expenditure indicates these are the anticipated needs at this stage, or the serviceable needs, shall we say, that the needs that need to be serviced. As we go into the next 2 or 3 years, so in this case you'll see that the needs or the serviceable needs are closely matched to the allocation. But of course, the national need is much greater than what we've reflected here. But nonetheless, over the last 2, 3, 4 years, there's been a very steady increase in the allocations for human capital development. Knowledge generation, this is another important driver in the department. This slide just presents to you the number of researchers that are annually awarded grants. Now, of course, Honourable Members, it's easy to make this number grow every year if you simply reduce the amount of money you give to each researcher. So you give more and more researchers less and less money. But that's counterproductive because they can't do anything with the money. So this, one has to manage here the tension between providing sufficient resources for a researcher to be able to carry out a project while growing the number of researchers that you're able to provide. And we would not jeopardize the productivity of the research system by providing increasingly smaller amounts of money to researchers. So this increase has been accompanied by real increases also in the per capita amount of money awarded to the researchers. So this is an important trend here. This is then just a graph which indicates the extent of scientific output from South Africa. We apologize for not having updated this yet for the 2013 year, but those data are only just becoming available now. But you'll see that in the bars, in the solid bars, this indicates the number of papers published annually by South African researchers in internationally accredited journals, scientific journals. And you can see a very significant and steady increase from 2003 onwards. Now, we would not claim that this is related solely to the Department of Science and Technology, because the Department of Higher Education and Training has made important contributions to this. It has adjusted its funding formula about 10 years ago, 10, 12 years ago, in terms of which universities are incentivized to produce more research output. And the more research output they generate, the greater is the subsidy they get from the Department of Higher Education Training. So that has been a very important driver in this increase. This increase, and you'll see that in the solid line above it, you'll see that the percentage of the world production of scientific knowledge there has increased from just under 0.5% to over 0.7% during this period. That's a very significant increase. And although these may seem only like numbers, these numbers are very important because they play important roles in other indices that are used internationally to compare South Africa. So there's a thing called the Global Competitiveness Index, for example, that uses some of these statistics from South Africa to measure the standing of South Africa in the global context. So the sort of statistics I'm presenting you here, the number of PhDs per million of population, for example, or this one, the percentage of research output as a fraction of the global output. These are important statistics because they become compounded with others in developing indices that are used internationally to compare South Africa to other countries, often also for questions of investment. So these are not just numbers, these are important factors. Turning now to knowledge exploitation, the Fluorochemicals Expansion Initiative is an important program of the department that has been supported for a long time now, and specifically the investments are focused on a subsidiary of the Nuclear Energy Corporation of South Africa, and this subsidiary is called PELCHEM. And the Fluorochemicals Expansion Initiative works closely with PELCHEM in developing new applications of fluorine. Fluorine is a mineral that is generated in South Africa, and instead of just simply exporting it, we have developed a number of technological innovations that add value to the raw material. And Nexa is our principal partner in this regard, and specifically PELCHEM. So you may have heard of a project called Kepler-Pela, for example, which is an initiative between the Department of Science and Technology and Department of Health to establish the capacity in South Africa for manufacturing active pharmaceutical ingredients as inputs into HIV and AIDS treatment drugs, for which these active pharmaceutical ingredients are largely imported at enormous cost. And we believe that they can be produced more cheaply in South Africa. And fluorine is an important component of these. This is just one example. Secondly, we've launched an ICT pilot project in Kofimbaba in the Eastern Cape under a program called Technology for Rural Education and Development, which is a project that we are developing in partnership with the Department of Basic Education, then Rural Development Land Reform, and the Eastern Cape Provincial Government. This project looks at the application of ICT technologies and interventions in providing and enhancing rural education as well as rural development. So it looks at ways of ensuring that rural schools, for example, are better networked, of course, bearing in mind cost considerations. So it's looking at low-cost but high-tech applications of ICT in enabling education in rural environments as well as development of rural environments, provision of, for example, administrative services in rural villages, moving them onto a more user-friendly basis using ICT technologies. An example of research infrastructure achievements, we've established something called a national recordal system to capture, store, and manage indigenous knowledge. This is a computer-based system that has been developed in South Africa at the CSIR, the Council for Scientific and Industrial Research, which is a computer-based system that allows us to record indigenous knowledge. The Honourable Chair referred to this earlier on during his opening comments. And precisely because indigenous knowledge is almost never captured in writing, it presents a challenge for capturing it so that it can be passed accurately from generation to generation and codified and exploited to its fullest extent for beneficial purposes. And so this system has been developed that enables non-written knowledge to be captured digitally in a way that can then be transferred and accessed by appropriate individuals and communities. And it creates, therefore, shall we say, a systematic basis for the further development of this indigenous knowledge. Accompanying that, the development of that system, we have developed indigenous knowledge system documentation centres in six provinces. These are infrastructures, buildings, in which the national recordal system is housed, and around which we have established the capacity to implement the system. Because, of course, the holders of the indigenous knowledge generally would not be familiar with the computer-based system that we have developed and designed to capture this information. So we've created these documentation centers where holders of the knowledge can come and engage with trained staff who are employed in these centers to transfer that knowledge into this system. Of course, this has to be a managed process, because why should anybody provide their knowledge to an anonymous system? So this is a process that is managed in a partnership where value is added to the knowledge and to the communities and the individuals who possess that by providing development opportunities around that indigenous knowledge. And we have had success in a number of cases of developing rural development opportunities based on indigenous knowledge, where now small factories have been created, employing a number of people and creating livelihood opportunities where previously there were none, or much more limited ones. Continuing with the research infrastructure, we funded the development of a titanium primary pilot plant. Titanium is a lightweight and very strong metal, but it is a very difficult metal to machine and to fabricate into components that can be used in engines. Titanium is of particular interest to the aircraft industry because it is very light but very, very strong. We produce titanium in South Africa as a barely beneficiated mineral, but the real value lies in being able to turn this titanium not just into a chunk of metal, but into a component, an engine component, for example. And so we have developed a program, an extensive program, that develops South Africa's capacity to manufacture and machine titanium components, for example, for the aircraft industry. We've established a world-class nanotechnology clean room at Mintec, or I think it might be still under development. Nanotechnology is a very, it's a technology that enables us to manage to develop new materials at a molecular level. Normally when we generate new materials, we do it at a macro level. We take materials and we put them together. Nanotechnology allows us to engineer the properties of new materials at a molecular and atomic level. And so it's a very important technology for the microprocessing industry, for the drug industry, etc. But to produce these nanomaterials, you need to have very, very clean laboratories, because just the smallest amount of pollution in those laboratories can destroy the processes that are being developed there. So these are very high-tech facilities that we're developing now. We have completed and launched in the last launches, perhaps not quite the right way, but we've completed 64 Meerkat dish pads. To some, they may simply look like concrete slabs in Carnarvon in the Northern Cape, 64 of them, where the Meerkat antenna dishes are going to be located. But they're in fact not just concrete slabs. They are highly engineered platforms for these radio dishes. They have to be engineered to within a millimeter or fraction of a millimeter of tolerance. They have to be exactly positioned at exactly the right geographic location and at of exactly the right height. They have to be anchored in the ground in exactly the right way. These are engineering achievements, and we have finalized all 64 of them to start housing the dishes that will be rolled out starting now. Annually, we invest around 400 million rand in research equipment at universities, the National Research Foundation, and at the science councils. You were introduced last week to the concept of the national facilities. These are research facilities that the National Research Foundation manages. Itemba Labs is one of them, for example. The Hartebeesthoek Radio Astronomy Observatory is another. The South African Astronomical Observatory here, an observatory in Cape Town, is a third one. These are national facilities that are managed by the National Research Foundation. And then annually we invest roughly 200 million rand in cyber infrastructure. This is in the National Research Network, in the Center for High Performance Computing, and increasingly we're developing a big data facility in South Africa as well. And we're starting to ramp up our investments there. This slide indicates to you in green the allocations for infrastructure historically and in the current MTEF cycle. And you can see that again over the last 7 or 8 years there's been a steady increase in infrastructure allocations. That's the green bars. The red bars indicates the expenditure. Now you'll see that in this case there is a significant deviation between the expenditure and the allocations, and the reason for this has largely to do with the rollout of the SKA project. The SKA project is a source of major infrastructure investment for us, and on occasion, the rollout of the expenditure around this project ends up being different from what was projected. You'll appreciate, ladies and gentlemen, that this project has never been constructed before. So everybody in South Africa and as part of the global SKA community are learning by doing. And so sometimes that community projects expenditures of a certain kind in a particular year, and then for unanticipated reasons, those expenditures end up being delayed to following years. So that is what has bedeviled to some extent here, the correlation between the budget and the expenditure. But the important lesson here is that the allocations from Treasury for infrastructure investment have been increasing steadily for the last 7 or 8 years. This year gives you an indication of the allocation of funding in South Africa to international partnerships and how that has changed over the years. And you can see there also that there's a steady growth in the investment we're making because there's a steady growth in the income that we're leveraging. And my colleague Dan Dutoy will be able to provide us with more information on that in due course. Policy developments, we have developed and launched the National Bioeconomy Strategy in November 2013. This Bioeconomy Strategy provides a roadmap for the development of South Africa's natural biological resources into commercial products in the fields of health, agriculture, and industry. And we finalized in April last year the 10-year ICT Research, Development, and Innovation Roadmap, which is an implementation plan for the National ICT Research, Development, and Innovation Strategy. ICT is becoming a key driver in not just the development of science and technology, but more importantly, in the development of national economies. There's quite a strong correlation between ICT investment and GDP. This is a strong driver in national development. I'd like to now begin to provide an overview of some of the performance indicators and targets that we have identified in this annual performance plan. In terms of the template for the production of this annual performance plan, we're required to align our performance indicators and our targets with strategic objectives at the level of the programs. So those four science programs that I introduced you to earlier on in this presentation, each of them has its own specific set of strategic objectives, which are outlined in the annual performance plan. I did not present them because it would have made the presentation too long. But the targets then are linked to those program-level strategic objectives, which in turn, of course, are aligned with the department's overall strategic objectives. All right. So this first one here, the strategic objective is to support, promote, and advocate for the development and translation of scientific research and development outputs into commercial products, processes, and services that will contribute to economic growth. The performance indicator is the number of new technology innovation products developed in key strategic areas, specifically in space science, in energy, biotechnology, IKS, and photonics. And the department has set itself the target of producing 6 new technology innovation products in these strategic areas by the end of the financial year. Turning to another strategic objective, which is really focused on human capital development. And here the performance indicator is the number of postgraduate students, masters and PhDs, produced in key strategic areas. And here, 6 postgraduate students produced in key strategic areas. This is strategic areas linked to the technology innovation areas I mentioned earlier on, space, science, energy. So they are identifying here a limited number of postgrad students to be supported in those strategic areas. Then this one here is an indicator that is related to our ability to leverage international funding through our strategic partnerships. The performance indicator is the amount of foreign science, technology, and innovation funds secured from international partners. And you'll see that the target here is over 350 million rand of foreign funds secured through international partners in this current year, against an investment in South Africa of roughly 100 million or so. Huh, Dan? Yes. So this is a leverage of 3-1. We're leveraging 3 times as much international investment as we're making nationally. This is an indicator that is linked to the development of human capital through international partnerships, and the indicator is the number of international human capital development opportunities accessed for participation by South African researchers and students. And the target is 44 international human capital development opportunities accessed. These 44 opportunities that are targeted here would be opportunities that would be funded from the funds I mentioned earlier on, the money that we're investing, roughly 100 million rand of national funds, and the 350-odd million rand from international funds. Most of those funds would be involved in supporting these international human capital development opportunities. The next strategic objective relates to the development of high-level human capital, specifically honors, masters, and PhD and postdoctoral students. And the indicator is just the number of postgrad students that are supported, and the target there is 11,440 postgrad students awarded bursaries by the NRF by the end of the financial year. Now, I should just mention, honourable members and honourable chair, deputy minister, I'm not sure if you're aware of the statistics, but even though this looks like a large amount of students that are being supported, it still constitutes less than 10% of all the postgraduate students that are enrolled in the universities that we're able to support, whereas more than 20% are supported by the state at the undergraduate level. So you can see that there's a significant drop-off in state support to students in going from an undergraduate environment to postgraduate environment, and this is one of the challenges for us as a department. This is an indicator relating to the extent of knowledge production in South Africa. The indicator is the number of accredited research articles published by NRF-funded researchers. Of course, much of the scientific output that I've mentioned previously in the form of published papers, not all of that results from funding just by the DST. Some other government departments provide research funding. The Department of Health, for example, supports the Medical Research Council, which also publishes papers. The Department of Water Affairs provides funding to the Water Research Commission, which funds research activities. So it's not just through the National Research Foundation that public funding is invested in research output in South Africa. But this indicator is linked to the funding that we provide through the National Research Foundation. And here we've set ourselves the target of 5,700 internationally accredited research articles published by NRF-funded researchers. This strategic objective, the seventh one that I'm introducing you to, is to identify, grow and sustain niche, high potential science, technology and innovation capabilities for sustainable development and the greening of society and the economy. The indicator is the number of high-level graduates fully funded or co-funded in designated niche areas, specifically in sustainable development, the greening of society, and the economy. So this is a series of programs that our Program 5 is investing in, and they have identified a target that they will support 10 master's and doctoral students in these designated niche areas by the end of the financial year. The eighth one here is linked to the objective of identifying, growing, and sustaining niche, high-potential science, technology, and innovation capabilities that improve the competitiveness of existing and emerging economic sectors and that facilitate development of new targeted industries with growth potential. In short, the performance indicator is the number of instruments funded in support of increased localization, competitiveness, and research and development-led industry development. Eight such instruments will be funded in support of increased localization, competitiveness, and R&D-led industry. These are essentially programs that the department supports to increase localization and competitiveness of the local R&D-led industry. Turning now, honourable members and chair, to an overview of the MTIF budget estimates. Of course, Chapter 34 of the national budget provides a lot more detail on the budget of the Department of Science and Technology. We have provided here just a high-level overview in as much as it is covered in this document. If the Portfolio Committee wished to have a more extensive engagement with the department on the full extent of the budget, that would need to be done outside of this meeting. There's too much detail in that budget. I had originally thought of drawing the budget information for all of the key programs of the department, but it would have ended up with 20 to 25 budget lines and we would not have been able to provide you a sensible overview and insight into each of these programs in the amount of time available. So depending on the extent to which the Portfolio Committee wants to be briefed, this might need to be subject of a further briefing then, which we would be very happy to do. So the budget is organized according to the normal Treasury budget structure in terms of the programs, first of all, in the department. The administration program, as the Treasury calls it, which is our two programs that are responsible for our corporate support services and institutional planning. There you can see the budget of $290 million for the current year and how it is poised to increase moving ahead. The program called Technology Innovation, the budget in the current year is $991 million. International Cooperation and Resources, $120 million. Research, Development and Support, $3.5 billion. And Socioeconomic Innovation Partnerships, $1.5 billion. So these are this is a budget of the department allocated or listed per program. You can unpack the budget of the department in a different way, and that's presented now in the next series of data. You can look at how much of that budget is being spent on employees of the department, and you can see that it's less than $300 million of the total $6.5 billion that is spent on employment, on remuneration within the department. Goods and services expenditure amounts to $2.2 billion. Transfer and subsidies amounts to almost 6 billion rand. So basically 92 to 93% of the department's budget is transferred to its agencies and to its partners. So the National Research Foundation, the Council for Scientific and Industrial Research, the Human Sciences Research Council, the South African National Space Agency, the Technology Innovation Agency, I've probably forgotten one. The Academy of Sciences of South Africa, all our agencies, almost all of our funds are transferred to them, where they're then spent closer to the action, as it were, to the science and technology activities. Payment for capital assets, just over two million rand, and none under payment for financial assets. This next slide, honourable members, provides you then an overview of the allocations to the various entities of the Department of Science and Technology. And you'll see here the Academy of Sciences receives just short of 22 million rand, the Council for Scientific Industrial Research 1.03 billion, the Human Sciences Research Council 276 million, the National Research Foundation 2.23 billion, and then the South African National Space Agency, just short of 120 million, the Technology Innovation Agency, 380 million. Now, it's important to point out that the National Research Foundation, of course, is an agency. So a significant amount of the funds transferred to them are transferred in turn to both their national facilities and to the universities. And the Technology Innovation Agency also has an agency function. It also transfers significant amount of its funds to third parties. These are providers of research, development, and innovation activities and programs and projects. So that is the state in the current financial year and the current MTEF period. This diagram here indicates to you the historical, the current trends in the baseline allocations, what are called the baseline allocations. I should highlight these allocations in this table here on page 39. These are what we call the baseline allocations. In addition to this, the department transfers program-specific funds to several of these entities for programs that these entities manage on a strategic basis on behalf of the Department of Science and Technology. So, for example, the Department of Science and Technology has a budget line for South African research chairs. This is an allocation from Treasury for the South African Research Chairs program, which you were introduced to last week, which the NRF manages on behalf of the Department of Science and Technology. It is not necessarily part of the NRF's baseline allocation. So the baseline allocation is a parliamentary allocation directly to the NRF, but over and above these funds, most of these agencies also get program or project funds from the department for specific strategic interventions that they are managing on behalf of the department. So the sum of these amounts here may not add up to the 5.9 billion that is actually in the department. These are the historical, or rather the changes in the current MTEF period, and you'll see that in the National Research Foundation there are important changes going from this year to next year, and that is because we have we are getting a significant injection of funding from Treasury for programs that the National Research Foundation will be funding in future, specifically around human capital development and the SKA project. What are the priorities as we go forward? We want to continue to support successful programs, such as the South African Research Chairs Program, the Centres of Competence, for example, the Fluorine Expansion Initiative, or the Hydrogen South Africa Centre of Competence, and Centres of Excellence, which I believe you also provided an overview of last week. We want to build and learn from the experience on how to commercialise ideas from R&D. So we now have several successful examples of commercialization of knowledge that was produced in South Africa over a 10 to 15 year period, because it's not something that happens over a 1 year period. You don't come up with an innovation this year and next year already fully commercialized operation. That may happen in some areas of ICT, but it's not the general trend in science and technology. It takes a decade or more to turn an original idea into a business that is viable and sustainable. So we have several examples of this now, and we want to learn from that experience to help inform how we take our innovation activities forward, and to strengthen efforts to grow the next generation of researchers. We have recognized, and the National Development Plan has emphasized, the need to increase the number of researchers in the South African research system. We need to further improve internal operations. You may be aware, ladies and gentlemen, Honourable Chair and Deputy Minister, that this department is, I can say without blushing, one of the high-performing departments. There are objective indicators from the Department of Performance Monitoring and Evaluation that illustrate this over successive years. But nonetheless, we do recognize that there are further improvements that can be made in our internal operations and efficiencies, and we intend to pursue those. We have also recognized, and the Minister has encouraged us very strongly in this regard, we need to communicate the work of the Department of Science and Technology and its achievements, and therefore really the contribution of science and technology to national development. This needs to be communicated more effectively and more broadly, so that science and technology is seen as the key driver of national development that it is, rather than something that is foreboding, something that is scary and not accessible to people. Science is difficult. We should not pretend it's not difficult. It is difficult. It takes many years, Honourable Chair, to become a qualified physician, and thank heavens that's so. But it is difficult. But that doesn't mean it's not important. It's central and critically important. And it's that tension that we have to manage and help to communicate around as a department. We need to further deepen our partnership with industry and other government departments. We have several examples of very successful cooperation agreements and activities with a range of departments. I've listed here the key departments we have close cooperation with: agriculture, forestry and fisheries, mineral resources, energy, higher education and training, environment affairs, and arts and culture. Arts and culture around paleosciences and indigenous knowledge systems, in case you were wondering. With that, I thank you for your attention, and I hope that we have been able to present you some insight into this document. We're in your hands, Honourable Chair.
Thank you, Thomas. You notice that I don't want to mention your surname. I'm still trying to learn it. And I hope you're going to learn mine too quickly, so that you can copy. Members, that is the presentation. As Uthoma said, this is the past 5 years. It's based on the past 5 year strategy, but they are completing that part. So, and now we are going to be moving to the new one. So it's going to be very difficult to interrogate them thoroughly on this one because we don't want to disappoint them. And he has actually mentioned something that is it's very serious for our work. He's saying the department has performed well, and I think it has performed well. So it's compromising us and actually being very hard on you. But in any case, all we are interested in now is to make sure that you get your budget so that this year could go on very well. I think the other thing that is of interest for me is the 3-to-1, the 3-to-1 balance. You always get worried. I used to get worried with the MRC. You find that the people who are funding are mostly overseas funders than the local. And obviously, when you get more money from somebody, you tend to report to that person. And I think it's very good that we've got this 3-to-1, which is local versus what you're getting internationally. The other one that is of interest for me is the employees. Salaries versus what you're actually doing. In most departments, it's the other way around. You find that most of the money goes to the employees, with little money goes to what is supposed to be done by a particular department. One hopes with all the agencies, the 92% that go to agencies, we're hoping that they're following the same trend, that they're doing the same trend, that most money goes for the work that is supposed to be done rather than going to the people that are just doing the work. I know Cousin Matala was saying to me he's going to get out with a PhD here, and I'm hoping that you're going to allow us to do our PhDs with you while we're members of Parliament. Mm-hmm. So 5 years is too long, Cousin. We'll have PhDs at the end of the 5 years. Kekan is looking at me, he's looking at a PhD too. He's trying to choose which PhD he's going to be doing. So thank you very much. Remember, that is the presentation. I think what we're going to do, maybe I should suggest you can shoot me down. We'll ask questions, and then you can dot them down. The only person that we're not going to want to comment, but she'll comment at the end, is the Deputy Minister. We want to hear all your voices to answer those questions. You can dot them down, and when the members have finished asking questions, we'll go for tea. And then when we come back, you go on to them, you answer them. We're hoping that your brains can keep everything that is going to be coming. If you can't keep it, you can write some of them down. And the Deputy Minister will come at the end. The members can have another share of questions if they are not satisfied with some of the questions that they've answered. Welcome people who like news. There are people who always communicate even something that doesn't need to be communicated. they are here, they always listen to everything. We welcome you. Okay, members, that is the floor is yours now. Okay.
Maybe let me see all the hands that.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you for the presentation, Dr. Alfred Heider. You answered my one question that I wanted to know, the percentage of students that are actually funded, which is 10%, which is very worrying, and I do note that NRF will be getting more in the next budget, hopefully, but then it decreases again, which is a bit worrying. My question is about the international funds. Do you act merely as a conduit for these funds? How do they reflect in the budget? Because I can't pick it up here. And then what measures do you have to ensure, because this is international money, that the way that, for example, if it does go to a project, that there are checks and balances to ensure that the money is spent appropriately?
Thank you.
thank you very much, Honorable Chair, and I want to also add my voice to applaud the Honorable Deputy Minister and also the head of TDG for good presentations.
We don't want the Deputy Minister to ask a question.
No.
You can applaud her, but don't
ask. No, she will not ask. No. Chair, you know the challenge out of all this, because there's now a paradigm shift from science to science or technology to technology to knowledge and innovation. It's a new paradigm shift altogether that the department is pursuing, and that is quite interesting. But my feeling is that it should start at a very fundamental primary stage, so to say, where you level the ground, right at the school level. I see that the budget is getting reduced moving from each and every financial year, but the challenge really is at the basic level if you want to begin this whole idea of innovation right at schools. Another challenge, Dr. Thomas, it will be the issue of infrastructure. Because if you want to begin at a school level, because now we are shifting away from the traditional laboratories that we know, Honorable Chair, to another scale, which is innovation. Therefore, you'll need some kind of new infrastructure, new interventions, so to say. Now, is it not possible that you may do some kind of interlinking, of intertwining within the school sector? I'm saying this because the infrastructure is very expensive if you want to go the area of innovation, especially in the rural areas where we should be beginning. Because our learners out there are very creative. You can imagine, Honorable Chairperson, a school learner who did not have test tubes and other equipment or whatever, science kit, but manages to get an A at a matric level to show us how brilliant they are. But the challenge is to expose them to the instruments, to the equipment that will ensure that they are exposed to innovation. For instance, you can find a child right in the rural areas, a learner at a lower level, trying to come with an innovation of a car. One would say it will translate to the arts industry. But that is a kind of an innovation which science and technology will have to attend to. It will need money, of course. But when you link institutions, you link schools, you upgrade the standard, the level of teaching of educators, you ensure that they are well trained. And I think something can be done. That's my thinking. Before you even move to the university level, where we are funding agencies that fund universities. But again, even at that level, Dr. Thomas, there is a problem, because you find the institutions on to find that the research units within universities are not doing sufficient job. My belief, Honorable Chair, is that a person does not need necessarily to be a PhD in order to produce something, create knowledge. At an undergraduate level, honors level, master's level, students can be in a position to create knowledge. Of course, we need PhDs. We need them, as many of them. But the creation of knowledge should begin at an undergraduate level, at the university, where we encourage our students to
produce raffled articles at a master's level, it should be a condition sine qua non that before you get your master's degree, you must have produced an article that is recorded in a science and in an international journal, accredited journals. Because it's not a question of producing an article in a newspaper or in a magazine, but it should be a scientific journal that is recognized. But the aim is not to produce an article, but to create knowledge for socio-economic use in line with the National Development Plan. That is the trend we should be taking. Perhaps that's my contribution, Chair.
Thank you. I suspect, Dr. Thomas, with that, probably this is one of the key areas that we have been worried about. I don't think it has to do with the relationship with Department of Education. Maybe to add to your point, I've always been asking, you know, I talked to one parent, he was saying, you know, my kid was saying, hey, I don't want my father. He says, why don't you want your father? He says, no, I don't want my father. He says, what about your mother? He says, no, I don't want my mother too. He says, who do you want? I mean, who do you love? He says, no, I like Bafana Bafana. Why do you like Bafana Bafana? He says, no, it's because they're always beaten. They don't beat anybody. They are always beaten themselves. Yeah, so I suspect that's what's happening with Bafana Bafana. They don't take them up from school level and train them so that when they get that level, they are able to go to Brazil. And they end up not going to Brazil. And it's exactly the same thing that is there. And when we talk transformation, that's what we are talking about. And I'm not sure whether education is at the level that is asking it. But I'm sure about the Department of Science and Technology is at that level. The fact that you have changed it to innovation, it shows that you are at that level. But whether education is at the level that you are in is another question. Dr. Keka. Okay, my lady.
Thanks, Honorable Chair, Deputy Minister. Some have been covered, but I wanted to repeat one thing, that knowledge should start at a lower level. And I'm still requesting that maybe they need to engage basic education to say that from here, where are we going? You know, when we were boycotting during that time, some of the subject is because of those subjects were teaching us something that is not taking us anywhere in future. And we know that science can take our children to the highest grade. So we request that, and you should note it, that this thing is needed for the future of the upcoming generation. And another thing that I wanted to raise is the issue of job creation. As you said that there is no enough resources to employ strategic people. Did you ask? Did you submit a proposal? Because it's very serious in terms of human resource. If you cannot come with a solution, then it will maybe take you some years to close that gap. And I wanted to check in terms of budget. It seems here that maybe I'm wrong with in thinking. I thought administration includes salary and goods and services. And here is not the case. But in some of the budgets that I saw, administration, it charges all of them, including consultants. I wanted to know how many consultants did you use? And then how much did you spend on consultants and why are you spending that money to consultants? And this administration issue, because it's not including what I thought it should include, let me ask Dr. Thomas to maybe elaborate further or unpack it, what is in the administration that can cost so much, close to 208 something million for sure. Goods and services, 202 million. I think this budget needs to be interrogated very, very, very seriously. You know why I'm saying this? I'm serving in a communications committee with Honorable Masego. You know what we saw? If you can see that, then you will see that people use our budget to loot, whereby we found some scary things, and they admitted. So that's why I wanted Dr. Thomas to unpack this. It's not, I'm not saying that maybe you are hiding something. I'm saying I wanted everything to be transparent. So for us to understand exactly what is happening. And salary, 283 million. I don't know in terms of percentage and in terms of your staff. The issue is that we don't know how many people do you have as your staff. So maybe you will find that you need again to unpack it, because we must avoid the ghost issue. Chair, you remember that when education presented the budget, we found that there was ghost salaries. People are no longer living, or there are no people, but they were created. So that I will want even it to be unpacked. And again, I will propose that after this beautiful presentation, we must go to that, we must go for oversight and see exactly if there are goods there. We must see the quality of those goods. And yeah, and I understand all this. Is it what Mbava project? Yeah, to check if those things that are presented here are really existing. And then HR issues. I wanted to know how many vacant posts did they have? Because top priority of the president, Honorable Geleleki Sazuma, even attested on SONA, one of the priorities is to eradicate unemployment and poverty. And in doing so, we want the department not even to have a single vacant post. All the posts must be filled, and people get work, employed. And then again, how many acting do you have? Acting posts. Because we don't want people to act. And we must know that in terms of your regulations, time limit of acting. How long should someone act? And yeah, time limit, that is. And I think I'm done, and congratulations for managing things very well. But it seems as somewhere there's a red tape, and you didn't tell us about it. Whether you have received a qualified or unqualified audit, and what was Auditor General's comment. I thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Keta. You see, Dr. Lothred, we also stressed the boom and the bus, because we want them not to stop working, but at the same time, we want honesty and integrity in giving us all the information. But some of the things, Dr. Keta, I'm not answering for them.
Yes.
I think you have hit it on the nail. We need to go there and see it for ourselves. It's unfortunate that we can't go now. We just have to deal with this budget. But as soon as we finish this budget, were going to be flooding those areas, especially that 92% goes to the other areas. So we will promise you, Dr. Thomas, we will be there. Marlene?
Just a follow-up, Chair, because I think this is very critical, because when I was reading the documents that we have were given, there is an indication that there is some slow spending with regard to some of these agencies. That is very crucial. At the same time, you find that the budget is reduced by 130 million within this financial year. So I should think, therefore, it is proper to do a local inspection of these agencies, with an aim, of course, of ensuring that we work together, we build, and ensuring that there is a value for money and that there is fiscal discipline within the department. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Prof. Marlene?
Thank you very much, Chairperson, and thank you to Dr. Thomas, and congratulating the Deputy Minister for the appointment officially. In the 2012-2013 Management Performance Assessment Tool report of the Department of Performance and Monitoring and Evaluation in the Presidency, identified the department as being the best managed national department. Congratulations for that. And then also going back to the audit outcome, you received a clean audit, but the AG raised the issues around tightening internal control systems in the department. So I just want to find out how far are you with that, and also on your supply chain management, if those people who are in that area have been vetted as per the new requirement. I agree that you need that the department need to come back to present, especially to unpack all the APPs vis-a-vis the budget. Notwithstanding what you referred to, that there's beside public fund and international funding, on what is the role of the South African private sector in ensuring that they come on board, more so that this department is one that should drive the country's economy, changing the economy of the country, and also any other thing, you know, it's centered in this department. I also wanted to find out what relationship do you also have with the South African Bureau of Standards, so that whatever goes out there to the public is of quality. And also in relation to the Millennium Development Goals, because there's a lot that is related to in the department, what tools are you using to monitor that? I agree that it is important to communicate what the department is doing. I see there is quite a lot of that for young people and learners. When I arrived on Monday, I think around about 4 on TV, they were talking about, it was like the presentation we had. It was a lot of on science and technology. The cradle of humankind and what have you, where they're talking about, it's the young people's a program. But what's the best way to communicate such to those born after technology, so that they understand the importance of the sector in developing the country? And with so many the agents that report to the department and are being funded, what mechanisms do you have in place to monitor that, and especially with the performance assessment against the performance agreements on the line managers, so that we are sure that what they sign for on issues of what they are responsible for is not just malicious compliance, but it is real. And lastly, I think Honorable Kekana has asked a number of questions that I wanted to ask in relation to the vacant posts and also the use of consultancies, because the department is saying that there's a need to increase the consultancy fee due to lack of management of advisory skills within the department. But what about the National Advisory Committee on Innovation as an important component of the National System of Innovation? If that, why can't that component be able to mentor and produce that skill, so that then we minimize on the use of consultants, and also to ensuring that we take South Africa forward into the knowledge economy. And lastly, Chair, is the budget of NIPMO. Do you think that 25 million is reasonable to allow the country to exploit that intellectual property emanating from the publicly funded research and development? Is that enough? But also, I saw on your you spoke that on the presentation outline, you were going to tell us of the strategic challenges, but on the slides themselves, there's no specific those challenges. Thank you very much, Jan.
Thank you, Marlene. I think that part of the budget of NIPMO is very important as a regulator, which you are not, as to why is it like that. I thought those were the hands. So maybe let's just go for tea. And then a 10-minute break, and then we come back, and then you rattle the questions. Thank you very much. Let's go for the answer.